brought about by GASSP, generally accepted system security principles. And some of them I've been talking about already, and I'm just going to list some of the other ones that GASSP uses. The GASSP standard is not what I would call the universally accepted authoritative set of standards that the generally accepted accounting principles is. I still use it, and I think it's really valuable to validate what you're saying relative to something that other people can buy into, and so I do it. And they have things like their multidisciplinary principle that says that security, in order to be effective, has to include the viewpoints of the entire organization, which I think very few people will disagree with, because you can't do it unless the organization buys in. Measures, everything has to interlink, okay? If you go for point solutions to security, it's very likely to fail. So you need to have interlinked security. Unfortunately, most all the things you can get are all point solutions. So integrating protection and doing it effectively so there are no holes is something that you have to do as a professional on your own. And that's not a very easy matter. There is the timeliness principle, which says basically that you need to do things, you need to know how timely something has to be done and do it in that timely a fashion. Okay? If you're reacting to power grid outages, please note that the speed of electrical propagation through the major electrical wires in the power grid is faster than the speed of propagation after you include amplifiers through the optical fiber network going from here to there. Okay? The outage will be there before your signal that would stop it could reach there. So when you figure out how you're going to do this stuff, you need to understand the effects of time and mitigate the effects of time. Remember, we talked about time differentials earlier as a means to attack systems. When you devise your defenses, you have to understand all the time differentials and how they can affect your systems in order to implement the proper defense. And this is a very tricky thing to do. There is the so-called democracy principle, which I interpret perhaps differently than others. I interpret it as meaning it doesn't matter what protection you put in place, your people are going to make it not work properly unless they like it. It's true. So here, you have to deal with information in context of the host society. Okay? You have limitations in what you can do because of the societies you're working in, especially multinationals. Those of you that work in the multinational environment, things get very, very tricky. Now, add to that export limitations on cryptography. And now we have, you know, the combination of problems makes it essentially unsolvable. So you have to find ways, techniques, that allow you to deal with this across this problem space. There is the principle of internal control, which basically views the organization as this truck going down a highway and the person in charge as the driver. And the information system is part of what makes this truck go down the road. And you need to provide the means for that driver to drive the truck. And what that means is there has to be a way to observe the state of things that affect you as you drive that truck. Is the wheel blown out? Okay? Are all the computers down? You need to be able to sense, the person who makes decisions needs to be able to sense what's going on and affect what's going to go on. Okay? You need a control system in place for protection to be effective. Okay? And implementing that control system is one of the things. There are a variety of control system mechanisms that we implement in information protection, and you need to understand them and use them. There's another problem, and that is in security, we can't typically design for every possible adversary. Okay, so you need to figure out who the adversaries are and design for those adversaries. Okay? You know, the terrorist is a lot different creature from the information warrior, typically. So if you don't design for the right threat profile, you'll have the wrong defenses in place when you undergo attacks. It'll cost too much. You'll have too many defenses. You'll end up shooting people who you should have just shot, you know, said, please go, please keep moving, and that sort of thing. So, and that relates also to the proportionality principle, which I think we get to later, I'm not sure. Continuity principle, you need to understand your organization's needs for continuity and meet it. Okay? So, to do that, you need to understand the interdependency of different parts of your information environment, characterize that in a way that lets you allow some things to break and not allow other things to break. Figure out what's really necessary and put your asset protection into that, even sometimes at the expense of ignoring something else. There is the simplicity principle that says that if it can fail, it will fail in the worst possible way. And in other words, the most effective protection is the simplest protection that gets the job done. I think Albert Einstein said it should be no more complicated. Let's see, what is it? You remember the quote? Yes. As simple as possible, but no simpler, right? If you make it simpler, of course, that's another problem. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, Einstein was pretty smart. One of the tools is period processing and color changes. Is everybody here familiar with period processing? You know what I mean when I say period processing? It's essentially time division multiplexing of computing. What it is we'll run sensitive information now, and then we'll do a color change. We'll clean everything out of the system, clear all the state, take the disks and move them over into that corner and put a new set of disks on, and then we'll do non-privacy stuff. And then later on, we'll switch back to privacy stuff and then back to non-privacy stuff and like that. That's called period processing because there are periods of time when I process different kinds of information, and color changes because I effectively, if I have red badges for one kind of thing and blue badges for another kind of thing, I process red information during one period and blue information during another period. And when I change colors, I'm making the system so that there's no red information in when I'm running blue processing and no blue information when I'm running red processing. That's why it's called a color change, because it's supposed to be easy to understand that. Alarms. We use alarms to indicate detected intrusions. For example, automated software-based intrusion detection systems, alarm system based on physical sensors reporting typically to central control rooms, maybe distributed, and systems in which each sensor alarms on detection on its own. And there's a very broad range of technologies ranging from, I guess now I've just heard about water sensors to detect flood, to intrusion detection systems that sit on computer networks and tell you that somebody's trying to use Satan against you. Then, of course, there's insurance. You can always forget about all this stuff and just let the insurance companies manage your risk. Yeah, hey, you know, it's sounding better and better, isn't it? You mean I don't have to worry about 140 different things, I'll just buy insurance for it. The only thing to note is that insurance companies typically make money. And you could make that money if you could figure out the right way to do it. Choice of location. You know, in the real estate business, they say location, location, location are the three most important things about what you buy, right? Selection of a neighborhood and its impact on crime are things to consider. Selection of geographical location and its relation to natural disasters. Okay, guess what? Right, we're in San Francisco, guys. If earthquake is a critical thing to worry about, we don't want to put it quite right here, right? This is the place where it shakes. Similarly, we kind of know where the volcanoes are, except, of course, in Los Angeles. But otherwise, we know where the volcanoes are. And if you don't want to have to deal with volcanoes, you can arrange that. I used to say that the Midwestern United States was really a good place for computer installations, but that was before the flood. Selection of countries. Okay? Let's go put something in Central Africa. That'll be a safe place. our employees will be safe there. Look, we know basically where there are wars, and if you can avoid them, it's probably a good idea, in terms of information security at least. Statistical data is available on these things, and all you have to do is use standard probabilistic risk assessment relative to that widely available information, and that helps make good decisions. We have filters, which are devices used to limit the pass-through of information or physical items. For example, air filters are used to limit smoke damage and noxious fumes. Packet filters to limit unauthorized and malicious incoming packets. Noise filters to reduce the impact of external noise. And guards to automatically declassify information. These are not people guards. They're computers called guards. They take classified information and filter out the classified to give you a more or less unclassified bunch of stuff if they work right. That's what the theory says. Environmental controls. Devices or methods that control temperature, pressure, humidity, and other environmental factors, like heaters and air conditioners and humidity controllers and air purifiers. They're commonplace, they're well understood, no problems. Searches and inspections. Use physical, electronic, sonic, and other searches and inspections designed to reveal the presence of illicit devices or tampering. And it's typified by manual labor, plus special purpose hardware devices. So it's just a lot of work. Are we done? Yeah, we made it. All right. So, have I missed anything?
What about cellular phones?
Cellular phones? Are they attacks or defenses?
Between the organizations. Wireless communication.
You have a whole field of wireless communication here. Wow. I think many of these methods are applicable, but I mean, basically, you leave a cell phone on, right? You can use, if you want to protect against cell phones, right? The defensive techniques are Faraday cages, right? You hold meetings in areas that are closed, physical searches, procedures. You have a standard procedure that says if you're in a confidential meeting, before you go in, if you have a cell phone, you check this and that. Access control, it's just, I think it fits into the models, but I can add a category if you want, called cell phones, so I don't know where to put it under a tent.
Your wireless LAN and cell phone is about the same thing if you can drive by with a van with a intercept, radio intercept devices and tap into the network, so anyway.
Yes, radio communications in general are susceptible to observation in transit and encryption against leaking of the information or other increased perimeters are effective, right? On and on. Let me just mention, there's a website that you can go to, and this information along with citations and additional information is available on the website.